continue to look at the church covenant. This will be the last lesson on the church covenant, and many say, finally, he's done. But we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. We see that membership in one of the Lord's churches, as we've seen throughout looking at the covenant, is a way of life. It's something that should be our life, should never, ever be content to have our name on a church roll and not be faithful in fulfilling our obligations. Should never be content to be at such a distance from a church that we cannot faithfully fulfill our obligations. And throughout the covenant, we see that we are obligated to use our time, to use our talents, to use our presence, our influence, our means to support the work of the Lord. And therefore, we pledge that if we do move, that we will go to a place where we can worship the Lord, where we can fulfill the obligations of a church covenant with another body of Christ. The Lord's will, of course, should always be sought when uniting with one of the Lord's churches. I strongly believe that one should not even consider moving to a place where there is not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even before one does move to a place where there is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they need to pray whether or not it's the Lord's will for them to be a member of that particular body. So we know for sure that it's not the Lord's will for you and I to be in a place where we cannot be faithful members of one of the Lord's churches, where we cannot be a blessing to one of the Lord's churches, where we cannot be a help to one of the Lord's churches. And we should only consider moving to a place where our church membership can be scripturally transferred, where a letter of recommendation can be granted. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans, chapter 16. We see a letter of recommendation to a church here. I commend, in verses 1 and 2, I commend unto you Phoebe. It is, I recommend Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor, or an assistance of many, and of myself also. Letter of recommendation, or a word of recommendation, was given. We should only consider a church where that can be done, where the church can be recommended, where a church can send a letter and honor a letter. When uniting with one of the Lord's churches, we must always seek the Lord's will. When one is considering moving, and there happens to be a Lord's church in that place, again, you must seek the Lord's will. Is that where the Lord wants me? Is that where the Lord would have me to be a member? And it is true that no church that is unscriptural can be a proper church for one to be a member. But at the same time, just because a church is scriptural does not automatically mean that it is the Lord's will for you to be a member of that church. Now, most of Christendom, of course, believes that one church is just as good another, just as good as another, and it really doesn't matter which one you belong to, but that is erroneous thinking. You will not find that support, that kind of thinking supported anywhere in the Word of God. Along the same lines, as long as a church is scriptural, then it doesn't matter. Again, that too is erroneous thinking. Because we have to realize that the Lord's churches are not accidents. They are specifically designed by God, specifically constructed by the Lord Himself. And it is the Lord who puts the members within the body. And therefore, we have to be absolutely certain that this is where God would have me to be. Notice in the book of Acts, and these are all familiar verses, the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, that is the church of Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. These individuals were added. They were added by the Spirit of God. Then notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them, speaking to the church of God, that are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus. And church members are set apart for a particular body. And in seeking the Lord's will, we have to be certain that we are being set apart for that particular body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, that is every one of them that he has set, every one of them he has set in the body as it hath pleased him. God sets the members in the church, and he does so as it pleases him. Therefore, again, the Lord's will is of extreme importance. I have pastored some that I am absolutely certain that God never added to that particular body. Absolutely certain of it. You do not want those whom the Lord does not add. They will diminish from the church every single time. It is of extreme importance that if we move, that we make sure that we are being added to another body of Christ. If we don't do that, we have dishonored our own pledge to the church of which we are a member by the last paragraph of the church covenant. Then notice verse 27 and 28 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now ye, the church of Corinth, are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. God doesn't set all in the church. He does set some. And he does so again as it pleases him. Now as you read through 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 12 through the end of the chapter, you see that he uses the analogy of a body, of a human body.
And the church is referred to as a body of Christ. A body is simply a dwelling place. It's where a person lives. If it's the body of Christ, it's the place where Christ lives. So each church is a body of Christ. Those whom the Lord adds to those churches are members. Members of that body that the Lord has set in a very specific order. Again, when you think of a human body, there's a very definite order. Everything is very precise. Everything fits. Everything works. And so it is in a body of Christ. So it is with a church. I don't think there are a whole lot of people today, as far as members of the Lord's churches, that really understand, that have really grasped the concept of a body of Christ and what that really means. So we have to make sure that we are being added. We can't say, well, I like the preacher over there. I like the way he preaches. Or I like a lot of their members or whatever. Really, none of that matters. Really doesn't. It is the Lord adding me to that particular body. Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 4, again, the church referred to as a body of Christ. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 16, from whom, the whom going back to Christ in verse 15, the whole body. Your human body, you're interested in the whole body. Not interested in just parts of it, the whole body. And when it comes to a body of Christ, we're looking at the whole body. And notice the whole body, not just part of it, but the whole body is to be fitly joined together. And who is it that does the joining? God does. That's what he does when he adds members. And compacted, that is, pressed firmly together in such a way that every joint, and so small parts of the body, every joint supplieth, that is, every joint contributes, every single member contributes. God isn't asking us to do something that is beyond our ability. But every joint contributeth, supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. We are to contribute to the body as the Holy Spirit of God works in us the ability to do so. And again, every joint is to do that. That's the whole body. We're not talking about fragments. We're not talking about portions of the body being active and other portions of the body being dead. We're talking about the whole body. And I believe that those whom the Lord adds, they do contribute. They do contribute. They will contribute. He goes on, he says, the measure of every part. We have every joint. We have every part. Again, today we've gotten in such sad shape that most folks are happy if the majority of our church is doing all right, we're pretty happy about that. We shouldn't be content with anything less than the whole. The whole body. The whole body. Every part maketh increase of the body. That is, again, every part contributes to the body, uplifts the body, edifies the body, edifying of itself in love. So churches are a body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the body. The body is the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 19 of chapter 2. Not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands having nourishment, ministered. All the body ministers and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. So every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body of Christ. And a body must have a locality. A body must be somewhere. Has to be. Each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body of Christ in a specific location. It is a dwelling place of Christ. And every member of that body is to be added by the Lord. And every member of that body is to contribute to the health of the body, every member. So it's important that we make sure that we are where the Lord would have us to be, so that we can be the kind of member that God would have us to be, so that we can be a contributing member. Now, a body, there are many ways you can go with a body, but a body is a creation. Bodies aren't accidents. Bodies are creations. Wherever you see a body, there has been a creation. And when God creates something, he doesn't just throw it together. God always creates by design. Always. God always creates by plan. So a body is a creation. That's true of the human body. That is also true of a body of Christ. A human body, a body of Christ, is not an accident. It is not thrown together in some haphazard way. That's how man would build a body of Christ. He would add a person here, pick this one. And he does his own adding, and pretty soon you have a mess. Everything just thrown together in a haphazard way. So a body has been created by design and with purpose. And a body has been put together by the Lord in a suitable order. In a suitable order. God not only adds to the body, I believe that God adds to the body in a suitable order as well, which means timing matters as well. Timing matters as well. God puts the body together in a suitable order. So we have to, if we move from this place, we have to be sure that the Lord is putting me in another body of Christ, and he's doing so in a suitable order. We see it is imperative that you and I always seek to be a member of the body that the Lord would have us to be a part of, because that is the only way that you and I can function properly. Now, a body not only is a creation by design, a body is a miracle. Wherever you see a human body, that's a miracle. I mean, the human body is a miraculous thing. The human body is a miracle of God. Even a greater miracle is wherever there is a body of Christ, That's a miracle. It's a miracle that God put it together. It's a miracle that God sustains it. It's a miracle that it's still in existence considering the world that we live in. So every body of Christ is a miracle. In Psalm 139, David, speaking of his own creation, in verse 14 said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Speaking of his own human body. So our human bodies are a creation, are a miracle of God, a creation wonder of God. And so it is with the body of Christ. Also in Psalm 139, verse 15, David said, my substance, talking about his human body, was not hid from thee when I was made. When I was made in secret, that is referring to the womb, hidden from the eye of man, and curiously or carefully wrought, and the word wrought means embroidered, in the lowest parts of the earth. David, looking at his human body, says, I was carefully embroidered by God. And it all took place by design. It all took place with a purpose. It's no different when we're talking about the body of Christ. A body of Christ is put together very, very carefully by God. It is carefully embroidered by the Lord. So if we move from this place, really it ought to be, we move from this place because we already know that God is adding me over here. It's the only, really, it's the only reason to move to another church, is because you know the Lord is placing you over here. So no church can be a proper church for membership unless the Lord adds us. Unless the Lord adds. Now when the Lord formed your human body, he didn't just take a bunch of body parts and throw them together at random. But everything was with great thought. Everything was with purpose and carefully placed together. It's no different than when the Lord adds to his churches. When the Lord adds to his churches, everything is skillfully placed by God. That's why I never approach someone. I don't care if they've been coming to church for 20 years and have never made a move to join. I will never go to them and ask them, excuse me, why don't you join home church? Because the Lord's big enough to add them. And he doesn't need my suggestions to push them. Leave them alone. I'm perhaps more fearful than the members, because I know what it's like to pastor those who the Lord hasn't added. And I don't want it. I don't want that. So we just leave it to the Lord. People ask, well, why don't you think so-and-so joins? Obviously, the Lord didn't add them. Because believe me, when the Lord adds them, they'll join. They'll come. Oh, wouldn't so-and-so make a great member? Only if the Lord adds them. Oh, but they're a great member at such and such a church. Maybe that's where the Lord's added them. If they go somewhere else, it might not be where the Lord's added them. And they won't be a great member. So we pledge to one another that if we do move, that we will be certain of God's will, and that we will be certain that God is adding us to another assembly.
because we believe that everything in the body of Christ is skillfully placed. And when the Lord adds, and I believe this, when the Lord adds, there is always an improvement to the church. Always. When the Lord adds. Now, I've seen a lot of times when people join and the church has not been improved. In fact, the church has been made worse. But when the Lord adds, there's always an improvement. The body of Christ is made stronger. That particular body is improved. So, if I go somewhere where I'm not being added, that I'm really not contributing to the improvement of that church. I can only be an improvement to that church if God is adding me to that assembly. So, it's not about our plans. Well, you know, when I turn 65, I'm going to retire, I'm going to move up such and such a place. There's a church there, and I'll just be a member there. You know what? It doesn't work that way. I know that's how it works in most people's minds. But that's not how it works in the Word of God. You have to be added. You have to be added. This isn't something you plan on doing. You don't plan on it. It's not something that you devise and figure out. The Lord just does it. The Lord add. So it's all about being added. It's all about being set by the Lord. And what a wonderful thing to know that I've been added. I've been set by the Lord. And once you have been added and once you have been set by the Lord, you don't want to leave unless you know for absolutely certain that you're being added and set somewhere else. It's the only way that you want to leave. So it's not about where you want to retire to. It's about being added. It's not about where the work is. Well, you know, work is slow and work in such and such a state, they're working real well there and there's some churches there. Hey, it must be the Lord's will for us to go there. Isn't it amazing the Lord never leads someone where the work isn't? That's amazing. And you know that's not so. So it's not about retirement. It's not about where the work is. It's not about where the money is. It's not about where the opportunity is. It's not even about where your job might move you. That's not what it's about. It comes down to one question. Is the Lord adding me there? And if He is, He's adding you there whether your job moves there or not. He's adding you there whether there's opportunity there or not. He's adding you there whether there's money or not. None of those things are issues. The only issue is this where the Lord would have me to be? That's it. That is the only issue. If a pastor is going to go to another church, that's the only issue. It's not how much can this church pay me? How many members do they have? What's the climate? None of those things are issues. None of them. It's not, do I feel comfortable there? Do the people like me there? That has nothing to do with it. It only has to do with one thing. Am I at it? Is there where God would have me? And that's not only true of pastors, it's true of each and every one of us. If we move from this place, and people do move, people move. I've had people tell me, well, you don't think anybody should move. No, I never said that, and I don't think that. But I do. If you move, you'd better make sure God's doing the moving. And if He is, then He's going to be adding you to another church. Each member is to be an addition. If God adds us, then we are to be an addition. And that's what the church covenant is all about. Being an addition, being an addition to the spiritual increase of the church. I believe those that God adds will be a spiritual increase to the church. They'll be of spiritual improvement to the church. They'll be in addition to the worship of the church. They'll be in addition to the steadfastness and to the faithfulness of the church. They'll be in addition to the holiness of the church. They'll be in addition to the spirit of the church. Those whom the Lord adds will be true additions. And we pledge that when we move from this place, we will seek that place where God would add us. And the Lord is not going to add you to an unscriptural church. It's not going to happen. You may settle for that, but that is not where God is going to add you. And if God is not in that, then we should certainly not settle for that as well. So this part of the church covenant basically is a pledge that I will be where God would have me to be. We pledge that to one another, that we will go where God would have us to go, that we will be where God would have us to be, so that we can faithfully fulfill the obligations of the covenant in whatever body that the Lord has added us to. It is a great, it is the most wonderful privilege to be a member of the greatest institution that the world has ever known. There is no greater institution. And when it comes down to it, the reason folks are not faithful, there is a lack of love for the Lord. But there is also a lack of love for the Lord's church. They do not realize the importance, and I don't think any of us do fully, realize the importance of the Lord's church. Nor do any of us realize fully the impact that everything we do has upon the body of Christ, as far as how the body is going to function. Again, if you have one part of your body attacking another part of your body's going to have problem. You're going to have problem getting through the day. You're not going to get much accomplished. And that's how it is in the body of Christ. If two people are at variance and they just refuse to settle the thing, you've got a problem in the whole body. And people need to realize that. Well, we're just keeping it to ourselves. You don't understand. You do not understand the concept of a body of Christ. You cannot just keep it to yourself and not have it affect the whole body. You've got to get it taken care of. And people need to realize this. And we need to realize what a privilege, what an opportunity, what an awesome responsibility it is to be a member. And if the Lord adds us, not only are we a member, we are a vital part of that body. I mean, if the Lord added us, then we are a vital part. You cannot take the attitude, well, I'm not that important to the body. Important enough for the Lord to add you, if the Lord added. That's pretty important. That's pretty vital. And we need to first be sure the Lord has added. And then if the Lord has added, then you have to take the attitude, I'm a vital part of the body. That is, if I'm not there, I'm a vital part of the body. The church suffers. Or if I do something that would bring disgrace, I'm part of that body. I'm a vital part because the Lord has added. Now again, I believe in every church, I believe that's one of the reasons that there was a Judas amongst the apostles. I believe in every church there's some the Lord has never added. And I believe in every church there are those that are lost, that are members. But we need to be sure. All we can be sure of is ourselves. And we need to make certain. It is an obligation to be a church member. There is no greater obligation. We need to take it very, very seriously. And that's what the church covenant is all about. It is about taking our membership seriously. If you go through the church covenant, you see that there are basically seven duties to the church as a whole. That is, we will walk together in Christian love. That's an obligation. That is a responsibility. We will strive together for church advancement. We will promote the prosperity and spirituality of the church. How do we do that? We do that by promoting our own spirituality, by taking care of ourselves spiritually. We will sustain its worship, its ordinances, its discipline, and its doctrine. We will sustain those things. You cannot be a faithful member of one of the Lord's churches and be in disagreement with what the church holds. Because if you're in disagreement, you're not sustaining. You have to sustain the church in doctrine. We pledge to contribute cheerfully and regularly. That is, of our finances and everything else. We pledge to give it preeminence in our life. It's not something that we just fit in when we have the time. It is to have a preeminent place in our lives. And we pledge to be active in the Lord's church wherever we live. And that's this last paragraph. There's also duties in personal Christian living. We pledge to maintain spiritual dedication, spiritual devotion in both our homes and in our individual lives. We pledge to remain devoted to the Lord. We pledge to spiritually train our children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pledge to seek the salvation of the lost. That is, to tell them about Christ, to pray for them. We pledge to walk carefully in the world and to live above reproach, to avoid gossip, backbiting, and anger. We pledge to avoid these things, to abstain from that which is destructive, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or whatever. We pledge to abstain from that which is destructive to spirituality and to our physical well-being. And we pledge to be zealous in our efforts for Christ. These are great responsibilities. And then we have duties to one another. We pledge to watch over one another. That is, that we do not put a stumbling block in one another's way, that we be not a hindrance in any way to any one individual in the body. We pledge to watch over one another. We pledge to remember one another in prayer. Everyone. Not just those that we are more close to. We're to remember every part of the body in prayer. We're to aid one another in time of need. We're also to be sympathetic toward one another, to be courteous. We're to be slow to take offense. And we are to be quick always ready for reconciliation. All of these are biblical principles. There is not a one of these things that is not backed up in Scripture. Not a one. People can say, well, the church covenant, that's just a document of man. It's biblical principles. It is backed up by biblical principles. If you have a problem with the church covenant, it's because you have a problem with biblical principles. And you need to be honest enough to admit that. I have a problem with this biblical principle. And that's quite a problem to have. So we're not just talking about a document of man. Now I realize the church covenant is not inspired by God, but it's based upon that which is. It's based upon the Word of God. And really, if one does not agree with the covenant, then, of course, they should not be a member. They should not be a member. They should go somewhere where they can be in agreement with whatever church covenant they have, if they have one. Many don't even have any. So if you have a problem with a church covenant, it looks to me like that'd be a good place to go. Go where they don't even have a covenant. Go where you can do anything you please. There's plenty of churches out. You won't have any trouble finding one. None at all. But when the Lord adds us, when the Lord adds us to one of His churches, that's serious business. That is a huge responsibility. And we all need to understand that. Everyone who comes to join Home Baptist Church needs to understand that. But this is a responsibility. This is an obligation. And you make sure that the Lord is doing that. And it's wonderful how the Lord adds. You can take, the Lord can add a variety of personalities that in the world would no way get along. But when the Lord adds them into a church, He blends them together and they don't have any problem. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. And that's why we have to always be careful that the Lord is adding. That the Lord is adding. Whether we move somewhere else, or whether we are voting to receive someone, we need to have as much assurance as we possibly can, realizing that really it's an issue between them and the Lord, but at the same time, we do have a responsibility. If we know something that would be a hindrance, someone presents himself for membership, and you know, you personally know that there's something in their life that would be a hindrance and would have a devastating effect upon home church, you have a responsibility to say something. You have that responsibility. Now, you don't do that based on gossip or something you've heard. You do that based upon fact. And then you have a responsibility to let someone know so that the church can investigate. Because this is serious. This is serious, serious business. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us in verse 6.